Welcome to the Ideal Spaces Working Group podcast.
Hello, here is the Ideal Spaces Working Group. I'm Ulrich Gehmann, the director of Ideal Spaces. And together with Grant Rainham and J. Michael Heinen, we want to make a discussion about the theme of equilibration, life and spirit, and the function of aesthetics for the transition process. A very important theme for our existence today as human beings in terms of mind and soul in the present situation.
Thank you very much being with you. Thank you very much for the opportunity to discuss our, especially for this year, findings of Nomai Institute. We started round about in the beginning of this year to ask ourselves, what is the development in this world? What is the development of not only politics and economics, everybody might read about in a newspaper, but in a general way. And I started just from the scratch, so to say. I started by thinking about normally the universe as a space of free will. And this space of free will in this universe does mean for the planet that it should be a kind of not only copy by that, but even an own active space to generate it too. And we ask ourselves, what did go wrong by finding a process, meanwhile, that human beings, wherever they are, and sometimes more, sometimes less, maybe, and everybody in his own way or her own way, but what happened that we don't find ourselves again as a human being? Just one remark about the universe is a space of free will. The universe has a kind of basic function to balance out every kind of energy, every kind of process, every kind of appearance, whatever happens, even if it's evolutionary, even if it's revolutionary, if it's intervention or non-intervention, whatever, is it only quiet? Every kind of state of mind, of emotion, of whatever happens, of energy, measurable as an energy, is at least balanced out in order to find its own order. This kind of order, if you take the world order, is a kind of more and more approaching a world disorder. And our question was, what is the state to be in order to realize? Only if you realize your actual point to move on and to come from, then you can design your life. And our finding was that we are anyhow in a transition. On the other hand, we found too that there are very much forces, let me say it like that, or some essences, organizations, whatever. They find out, is it really like that? They try maybe more to ignore that there is a transition. And I think for the suicidal process, without taking too much the states, and because the states have their own states-driven formal function, but for the societies, it's a problem if they don't realize there is a transition process anymore running. And this transition process, which we anyhow found out that it's already running for a time, we would like to describe it as that. If you take the last kind of 50, 60 years, whoever might want to give whatever measure to put it here, you have the Anthropocene, the old so-called Anthropocene. And the Anthropocene now, our evaluation comes anyhow, seems to come to an end, whatever the end might be described of. But what we see is that the Anthropocene brought the human being to govern its environment, govern its factual world, its material world, out of best will, out of best metaphysical concepts. But anyhow, the Anthropocene also showed that we anyhow were so much concentrated on the formal outer world that we didn't find a way to keep the connection to the inner world. And the Anthropocene now shows us in its development, how it developed, that it's that we lost, I think, maybe it's a little bit oversized picture, but and oversigned, but just to make it clear, that we lost the connection to our inner space, to our inner world. This inner world we came from, often very much religiously minded or religiously defined. Okay, on the one hand, we had a kind of metaphysics, also independently of the religious side, even in philosophy. And the Anthropocene also shows that we have all things, technologically, materialistically, but on the other hand, also metaphysically, philosophically. We have so tremendous, rich kind of philosophies, not only starting with Socrates, Plato, till Kant, whatever, but we have so much also in the second line, rich people having offered us very nice cognitive and intellectual concepts, but even also aesthetic concepts, you know. And I think that the Anthropocene is now, so to say, handing over or leading us to a kind of new scene. New scene means nous from the Greek term spirit, mind or spirit. And this kind of nousenic development, this is that what I now describe as a transitional process. There was our question, if that's so, what do we need to redevelop, to re-engineer, so to say, to refine as a human being, to stay a human being, not only to stay a kind of person?
This is an outline from the background of which the question arises, for me at least. One is about aesthetics. So if we understand aesthetics in its original encompassing meaning as the capability and the capacity to perceive and to conceive the world. What is the relation between aesthetics, this need for transition out of this materialistic existing state of an Anthropocene, and how this relates to what you call equilibration?
There exactly you just directly line out our kind of solution in order to offer a kind of procedure how to not only to perform a kind of transition, but how to realize that we're in a transition and how to design. Because wherever we go, wherever we are now, we all want to have a kind of humane adequate future. And the future is, you can run it, let it run just out of incidents, yes. But on the other hand, you might also develop the qualities, and even not only the qualities. And there you mentioned about this aesthetics, the field of aesthetics. This is exactly the, let me call it in an artificial English term, the equilibrator, so to say, the resonantial, so to say, opening for resonance in my environment in order to create an access to myself. Yeah. This is very important. Look, you have, I think it's very important to realize that we have not only an outside. There's also a human inside, especially the inside makes the person to be a human. And I would like to distinguish that, not in misunderstanding or misestimation of any human, but what does a real human, what is a real human? It's the real human disposes about his perception of outside, but also the self-perception and being reconnected with the self in order to, what you call it, perceive. And after perceiving, trying minimum to try to understand his inner resonance on the outside, or to understand the outside in order to have an inner resonance. Because you can have the nicest buildings in the world, you can have the nicest temple, church, synagogue, whatever you want to have. But what you need is your inner temple in order to concentrate, in order to center yourself in resonating with the world. And let me just briefly explain you. We had in our pre-talk mentioned briefly Carl Jaspers. Maybe the one other of our listeners might know Carl Jaspers. He has a very nice, offered a very nice differentiation to distinguish between subject and object. Let me briefly mention it because it's very important to take that in. The object is mostly that what we find in our environment, outside world. The outside world, in principle, is a world of condition. The inside world is normally the world of determination, self-determination. And this determination is very important in order to determine myself, in order to understand myself, in order to understand also then the outside. To perceive the conditions in the world needs a kind of pre-check on my inner world. What do I want to see, but even not just with open eyes to receive the message, but even to see the background of things, you know.
To come in these regards, to come on the buzzword of identity, it is this insight as a question. Is it about identity in the end? To deliberately use this existing buzzword and the search for identity, which seems to have got lost.
The term identity, I'm totally with you, can be taken, can be helpful, so to say. On the other hand, if identity is being taken as a qualifying basis and a kind of process to be in flow, in active, reactive flow on outside, inside, you know, this kind of equilibration even, therefore the term equilibration, because we equilibrate by a living spirit and spiritualizing life. This mixture puts us back in not only governing, but even perceiving the world, like you used very nicely the term perception, because it's very important to open up in order to understand. Without understanding, I cannot put myself in any kind of correlation and constellation with the outside world. Before I go out, so to say, I should have a kind of inner understanding of myself, not in order to define myself very, very clear and very strict. That's not the point. It's not calling for a discipline. You know, that is a secondary evaluation level. What I mean is the idea, to develop the idea of myself in order to find and see what I find outside in order to resonate with. The more I can resonate with, the more I feel congruent. And this congruence between inside and outside is exactly that what the equilibration process of equilibration wants to provoke, to produce, to elaborate, you know. This, I think, is very important to become my own guidance, to create my own guidance in a transition process, you know, because as I said, we have everything outside, we have everything. You can buy everything, you can We have billions of money, of budgets, whatever, you know, but what is the sense of the things we are looking for, or even what we need to create in order to progress?
This implies a sense of meaning, and out of the sense of meaning, a sense of direction, where we want to go to. Or to use explicitly another common term next to identity, it implies a vision. What happens with human beings that are no longer truly human beings in the sense of receiving, in the sense of perception, in the sense of spirituality? Where to get this meaning from and this vision from?
It is a very interesting question, because it gives the opportunity to come back to that, what I already said, but to deepen that in following regard. The outer world is a world of conditions, as I said, and conditions are, it's not like being critical about, but it's always limited. You need to limit it, because it's needed qualitative limitation in order to define it. That moment it's ruled, it's designed and defined and all this, you know, that moment it gets to be an object, as I mentioned. We now want to be a part of this world, we want to function, we want to anyhow to be a good guy in this world, you know, and trying to fit in. That way we get, without realizing maybe, we get to be like the object, you know, and function like an object, you know. One time we see our husband or our wife just like an object, how to represent with or whatever, you know. But what is it? What is the opposite? The opposite is to be a subject, to have emotion, to have a feeling, to come from heart and brain, from brain and heart, not only life as we hopefully have it, but also to take spirit in, to have a cognitive process, but also a feeling process. And that way you conclude and to have this entire process of creating a consciousness. And out of this consciousness, you get back to that, what's your inside, as I mentioned briefly about. And the inside is totally unlimited. And I come back to my, in the beginning, the remark about the universe is a space of free will. We have an inner universe. This is please to realize, I think, for everybody who might realize his inner universe, to open up to, there's the creativity in order to, and the whole space I need, if I come to it, if I'm receiving the little messages here and there, emotionally, more rational, whatever, you know, to meditate about, to contemplate, but also cognitively to include it in my already existing pictures or perceptions, then I can start to create that kind of vision. And your question brings exactly to the point. If I'm realizing I'm in transition asks for the next step, it's transformation. But transformation is open. Transformation, where to go? What does it mean? What do I want to reach? Would I be not limited enough in order to reach the next steps? And it's not about success. It's not about, because you cannot measure that. It's about a humane, open, integral, therefore equilibrating step to build up the vision and to have a kind of idea of my future.
And do you think that the conceptualization can also be something that can be effective for the young generation today, the new generation of people?
Especially, I think, the framework we developed is not only targeting a kind of specific kind of generation, but as a young generation, you are, for example, used to hear on your parents, to hear on the elders, to hear, to take it as a blueprint or whatever, you know, you are used to that, or even to grow out of your own experiences. And what has a younger generation today as a chance to experience what kind of field, what kind of outside. And this outside is so regulated and so ruled that they need something much more. And I think my experiences, they ask for it. But it's more inside than outside, because outside there is more separation and disconnection. But not only the separation we need, the separation subject-object, this separation we need, but we also face, and it sounds funny and antinomic, but it's what we need is the reconnection based on the separation between subject and object. Subject as a conscious process of the inner mind to go to design my life and my future. And our discussion regarding future and transition is, of course, without any concrete targeting, but very clearly more for the next generation, or to take that on to find out what is our individual differentiating way in order to develop this development and for in order to transform.
I want to come back in particular as regards is the addressed so-called younger generation. And I want to provoke a bit. I want to bring the formulation to the point. What happens when human beings have forgot that they are human? What happens with them when they have no meaning in their life, but searching for meaning? And what happens when they, as you said it, when they have the chance only to make certain kind of experiences and no others? We are living today in a completely materialistic world of the object, offering only a certain array of outer experiences from the outer world. And here experience relates to perception. And if perception is the first step for getting a transition and for getting spirituality, then experience and perception and the loss of meaning relate. And then we have a society as a result full of fear. And of an unguided, semi-conscious fear. I'm afraid of everything because I have no direction, because I have no meaning, because I cannot really perceive my environment as a non-object, nor me as an individual subject. If this is the general starting condition, what then?
It's exactly the point. Out of that, what we talked about till now, or what I would have a chance to present now, is exactly the point. I'm very much with you regarding the younger generation. On the other hand, I would like to put it or to keep it in a general vision, because even if you have a last day, start to liberate, start to emancipate. It's my appeal. But it's for everybody. And as you said, if you just experience a materialistic environment and the younger generation tries to fit in, to learn all the day, to learn, to adapt and all this stuff, you know, they are already in a lost, and let me say it like that, what they experience is an anyhow lost space, because it doesn't give any, it gives very much declarations, but but it doesn't have a meaning. You know, it doesn't explain the world. And
and this kind of upfront, I made many positive experiences with people, representatives from that generalized younger generation. The main point is, as regards this kind of experiences, let's say this de-spiritualized, mindless experiences, this applies to all of us.
Exactly.
We are in this Anthropocene of modernity since 100 years, and with the accompanying loss of perception, loss of beauty, loss of meaning. I mean, this is a 100-year-long process, minimum. And how to get out, also if this is the Anthropocene, if we now are living in a kind of culmination point of this Anthropocene, assisted in the world of objects by the so-called digital media, which allow for a maximum amount of distraction from the inner self, what to do? How to achieve this vision? A vision has to grow, has to emanate. You cannot create a vision. It has to grow like a plant. And this presupposes, again, perceptional qualities and certain experiences and an openness of the mind to be achieved at all. When I have to make 5 jobs in order to survive, I have no open mind. And I cannot sit down in peace and look, for instance, at a nice arrangement of trees in a natural habitat, really perceiving it. I have no inner time for this.
I'm totally with you. It's I just would like to not to correct, but just to fine tune a little bit this generative stuff, like the gender stuff and all this stuff, mm-hmm. or homosexual or whatever, you know, it doesn't play any role. It's for anybody who is a kind of human being. This all has the same demands, and at least it's love, it's perception, it's aesthetics, it's all this very nice fields. Everybody, also the hard worker, is able to do as follows, I think. The first is to introduce quiet, as I mentioned in our first podcast. Just a moment of quiet, even if it's in the tram or wherever you're just looking out of the window, and take on what you see consciously as a conscious process. Start and then start come from outside to the inside and ask yourself, how does it influence you? How does it reach you even? So this kind of process inside outside, just to kind of maybe to train it even, you know, and just to see how it feels to feel yourself. And this is very hard for a hardworking people, I know. On the other hand, it needs to be possible in order to reconnect with that, what most people maybe don't know, maybe not, I don't know, but they shouldn't ignore. Whatever the age is, whatever the gender is, whatever, you know, this doesn't interest me. You know, it's for everybody being a human being and having the huge and the fantastic capacity of a human being we normally till now don't use. You mentioned again the Anthropocene. The Anthropocene process is very interesting. That moment after the industrial revolution, you mentioned 100 years, it's even tick longer, you know, it's really caused by the industrial revolution, having a very technological world and the materialization. This is a quantification of the world and getting to govern the world, the environment. Now we reach it, exactly that moment, it turns totally off. In the opposite, like we wanted to govern the world in order to live, in order to exist, to have a good existence and all this, and we reached it anyhow. It's really a fantastic process, which I don't anyhow see in any pessimistic way, on the one hand. But on the other hand, the longer we stayed in that outside world in order to govern, in order to discover even, you know, the more we lost our insight. Sometimes in science you can see, you know, oh, there is a square kilometer in the North Pole. We didn't research on that. We didn't know about. Yeah, if you don't know any square kilometer in the North Pole, it doesn't change life. What changes life is to know yourself, because in the inside structure you have, repeated briefly, you have an unlimited universe of capacities. This is to use for defining the transitional process in order to transform, where to transform, where to go, what do we want to reach, and who am I to reach what? and when and whatever. I'm the self-determination part in that whole game. And as an individual, I have the capacities. This self-trust, this is to reestablish.
How to liberate this capacity for self-trust in the individual?
There we are again, as this, what I called, like a little bit artificially, come in a kind of artificial terminology, equilibrator. There you are in aesthetics again. To is exactly the function of aesthetics, to reopen to your own soul, to experience yourself, to perceive yourself, your inner kind of richness and capacities. Starting with quiet, I think that's very important. I would even say the whole society make not have not only a vacation anywhere, just take a day out, you know, and start to have quiet, to feel yourself.
Recurring to old philosophical and spiritual tradition, quietness is a prerequisite for perception in this encompassing sense of to perceive and really conceive me and the world around me. And me, and also in a ritual sense, as what the Greeks called aesthesis, perception in a very encompassing sense, including mind and soul, and not just to perceive in a superficial sense.
Just to see it, yeah.
In order just to see it. Seeing is not perceiving. And how to liberate in the existing situation of the Anthropocene with its let's call it the epiphany of the object world, how to liberate oneself again to come to this quietness is one very prerequisite for all the rest we addressed.
I think it's a very important question, or very nice opening to conclude on the one hand what we already developed in our talk, or that what I tried to explain. On the other hand, it gives a chance to to repeat and to go further. The insight normally is that what we call the cognitive, the whatever mind process, and that is opening up to the universe of metaphysics. The outer world is physics. The perception of the physical world needs to be a resonance on my inner world in the ideal case. You know, it cannot always to be like that, because the inside is a kind of, and I take it away, it only can be the aesthetic is a connection between outside and inside. The inside is a metaphysical space, the outside is a more physical space. Conditioned, the inside, the metaphysical is determination, space of determination. This space of determination is a space of totality. It's the only space where you can experience in that planet, in this universe, as a space of free will. It's the only space where you can find the absolute. The absolute, where you feel also being alone for a moment, I understand, but that's typical for the inside. You are alone there. It's your own inside, your individual inside, where your determination grows to be. And disconnect via aesthetics with an outer space, outside, with the outside, and this kind of space to combine, to correlate, to generate communication, of course peaceful communication, in order to generate a constellation of qualifying processes.
This is a very important connection in my eyes, because this let's call it individual liberation process, as you outlined it right now, leads to the issue of community again, or in line with an Occidental heritage, what the Greek called a polis. Polis is more than a city, it's a community of people. How this idea of, let's abbreviate it as polis, huh? how this polis relates to a transitional state in the way you described it as a kind of inner liberation via quietness and perception.
If you take that process, what you just now described, then you find a real individual. And you find a real individual. The individual now has the whole steps of perception, understanding, contemplation, meditation, cognitional workout, also rational, not only, but also kind of workout. And coming back, because if I have rational cognitive results, I can contemplate about it, I again can filter out that, I can adapt it as my inner space allows me to do. Everybody has his own inner space, has his own procedure to work with, if hopefully to work with, and opening up to the outside. I'm now talking about a real ideal space, with your nice work title, because we didn't reach that till now. We are so much driven by outside that we are too far away from that kind of from this kind of constellation I'm now describing. But taking it that way, in that kind of ideal way, then you have a subject. This subject is capable to communicate with you, because this subject, knowing itself, knowing himself, herself, starts to feel for you, because you have your own processes, but are similar processes. And that way it can form a kind of platform or a communication or a constellation of not like-minded, but minds of similar kind of backgrounds. And this kind of societal process is the ideal case to redefine the so-called space of free will, which this planet might also one time reach to implement.
You brought up the ideal space just now. Could you define what, to you, an ideal space is?
Where every individual might have a kind of knowledge to do it, and also the capacity and the energy to do it, to equilibrate a full, rich outside world with the inside world. This equilibration process is always working process as a resonational field, you know. We need to create resonance, or to take resonance on an outside world. And this kind of learning world and giving world and taking world, and this kind of going around, so to say, from inside, outside, outside, inside, this kind of process, this is the mechanism, I think, which could solve the old mankind's problem to find a constellation between the peaceful and constructive, creative, energetically bringing forward constellation between idea and reality.
And therefore, like, can these be identified today in specific kinds of societies that exist?
This question, it's the question they are linked. What I now said can be identified if we go good steps further, like what I now described is after a kind of emancipation. But this is an old kind of concept on the one hand, and it sounds a little bit like an old liberal kind of concept, even Kant or Schiller coming from, you know. But on the other hand, I want to bring back the life force in that regard, even not only life force as a physical force, but as a metaphysical life force. This is very important. And our societies, and regarding your question, I especially have in my kind of observation, the Western company, the Western communities and societies, because they lost the connection to the inner space. They came from that kind of metaphysical, very nice intention to organize a free society in order to implement the inner freedom in the outer world. But having so much outer world dominance, and the real dominance, and the so-called supremacy, they forgot that the real supremacy is and will be always on the spiritual level. Because only the spirit includes what we can define, what we can think about to take it in our equilibrational process.
Now, talking about society, Western society, I mean, what is your estimation, your viewpoint on the development of like democracy and liberal democracy as to the self, as to freedom, and the linkage between self and the outside world?
I think if we get the first steps, as we talked about, realizing some of that, what we tried to paint a very rough picture about, I think if they're introduced by just a little quiet, seeing how to understand myself, so to say, if we go the way of to reflect ourselves, to reconnect ourselves, you know, if we go back to open up to our inside as a transcendental space, even to redevelop a transcendence, whatever that in detail in individual cases might be and include, but this kind of transcendence out of our metaphysical inner space, unlimited, this is to develop. And then I think it can have a kind of, as I called it one time in our context, neo-freedom, a kind of liberation, a real liberation, because now we come back even as a society or societies. It doesn't exist only one, of course. We come back as a whole society. We also have this kind of chance to equilibrate our processes, because we know there are individuals, they come from inside, they are inside connected, they come from a very rich kind of capacity in order to bring in, not as an ego, of course, but as a self-connected, but as a self being connected with itself and knowing about itself.
What about different human potentials and capabilities in this respect? Not all human beings are equal. There are humans who are more gifted and humans who are less gifted. It sounds very, very bad, I'm aware of that, but we have human differences. What if not everybody wants to liberate herself or himself? What about the human condition, one human condition of sloth, Trägheit? What about humans that do not want to change their lives and to perceive and to listen to their inner selves? What about humans whose inner self is a desert and nothing else?
There we are now. The desert feeling is describing our actual world in my not quite uncritical perception. But on the one hand, you know, your question is problematic because there are two implications. The one is, we need a democracy, yes, we might then have a real democracy, because freedom is every time starting inside, not outside, you know. If I'm not emancipated from myself, I cannot anyhow freely go in the outside and trying to get any free consolation. The second is, you mentioned the word equal or equality. In my personal, individual view, equality is very humanly a very nice try to get a quiet and one other front of political fight, but the equality is a compensative and it's a fata morgana. It's a kind of lie. For me, it's a lie. The equality doesn't exist. I, for myself, may briefly mention about that I had he died, but I had an identical twin brother, and even we were not equal. We had very good differences, and coming back to a question, we getting older and from 30, 40, whatever, we enjoyed our differences. We enjoyed it. And that might be answer your question or tend to answer the question. We enjoyed and grew out of the differences each other, or we could offer each other to grow with. Your other question is regarding if people are, of course, not equal. And the second is everybody has his own process, his own mind, his own, hopefully, I can only imagine that it's very to be advised to open up to the inside and coming from inside to outside. Everybody has his own processes and qualities. And if someone decides not to give it, not to bring it in society, it's totally to accept. What's not to accept is to expect the full participation. This is not to accept. That would be a kind of opposite to that what I mentioned. We talked about the proactive design and processing regarding transition. If people or individuals decide, I want just passively to enjoy and staying in quiet, then I'm in the indifference and the indifferent process regarding the society, and then I neglect it, so to say. I'm then kind of alone, so to say. The society might not leave this individual alone out of itself and out of its human values, but on the other hand, it doesn't have the right of full participation. That is also one time to realize, and it is a Western politics misleading processes. I'm very much for the protection of minorities, but this is human rights are not only passive resistant rights or resistance rights. Human rights are also proactive rights to design.
In this respect, what about the less gifted and the less abled?
I think everybody, even
in qualitative terms, they have a limited ability.
Everybody in its own kind of. Not measuring how to measure that, it's another question, you know. But everybody in his own capacities, you know, and we talked about a residential space in the outside. And if you go to communicate with the outside community, and there's always a kind of equivalent potential of partners, of finding partners, in order to connect with. And so far, I think that society, developed society, will always care for so-called underdeveloped people. But what means underdeveloped? It's a very critical term. Everybody has his own kind of capacity of development. That's also the problem, like we treated always the post-colonial world, the third world, and we call it as a developing countries, you know. What does mean developed, you know? We had in our pre-talk a little bit, we mentioned about the Indian world, the North American Indians and the South American Indians, you know, we crashed it, you know, out of the dominance of an ignorant culture without learning. And this is a horrible mistake, you know.
This, right, you're on. Right, you are. And this was my question brought to the point. What about the unwilling and the ignorant? They cannot detect that in ourselves because and they do not want to do it.
I accept.
And they're totally, incapable in doing it.
I'm totally accepting everybody's individual. This is my precondition, so to say, the only precondition. I accept any kind of result of inner process. If the inner process determines you to stay quiet or to ignore or whatever, okay, go ahead. But as I said, it's an equilibrating space also then in society. And if there's nobody to resonate with, then okay, you might experience. And there comes the factor of learning. And I definitely don't mean the pedagogical learning, but the learning process of how to find a way to give my, to offer my capacities to be connected with the world. Because if I have an inner connection, I look for an outer connection. It's very nice to connect with the outside in order to celebrate, in order to find ways to find solutions, and without any fear. You know, nobody has to be in fear, which also sometimes puts people in this indifference of not anymore acting, or I cannot. And but this, no, take off all these Fata Morganas, come from inside. I want to encourage even whoever you are, come from inside and offer. Offer the connection and to be loved, or not so much love, or whatever, you know, or just to be also judged about by thirds. But you know, the more developed people are, they anyway tend not to judge that, because it doesn't bring very much, but to connect with on a level of equivalence.
So is that your basic strategy for facilitating the necessary processes?
I think that's a very important part, to open up to a conscious process of designing a future, designing the transitional process, to design the transformation in this kind of transition, because the transition is the method and the transformation more the content level in order to reach our future. What do we reach without building up, so to say, judgments, or building up any, or building anyhow kind of limits? No, it's unlimited. Our future is unlimited. We just need to open up to and to connect with ourselves, our individual selves, to be reconnected, emancipated for ourselves, and then being liberated in a kind of society, perceiving the other other qualities of the others, you know, being to be connected with and to exchange about. This is all what we can do. And I think, you know, we didn't mention that very much. If you take the societal space in the sense how the states left it, it's now more and more the states are coming to a point where they start to leave the societal space, although the societies ordered the people to organize the state. It's not vice versa. The society doesn't exist to be there for the state. The societies might be left emptied out, economically especially, the budgets. It's starting in a different regards, especially in the Western world, you know, not only in autocratic or authoritarian states. The societies are emptied out after a long time of work, out of a long time of misleading trust. The state's categories to order and to function and to coordinate their will, which was also anyhow error in some regards. And we need to dissolve that in order to define ourselves as a society, as different societies, in order to interact also globally as a society, in order to find a humane future. And I think that's basically possible. It's not only an idea or a vision I have. I think it's possible, and that's my vision.
That also the basic concept of the ideal space in your mind has been destroyed, and therefore it has to be recreated now.
Again, I didn't quite get the point.
I mean, you know, the ideal space, even the state and the people, sort of in the conversation of, you know, people governing the state governing the people, the budgets being wiped out, this being done, the neoliberal experiment maybe not at its optimal state, democracy at this point maybe not at its optimal state. So therefore, the individual living in a specific area or country or state, let's say, no longer has an ideal space to live in, no, an ideal lifestyle, an ideal living space, ideal housing, so forth and so on. And therefore, basically, is the conceptualization that we have to sort of have it be destructed so that we can rebuild all that.
You're totally right. We have two chances to do that. The one thing is to wait till it's destructed by itself, because it will. I think that is part of the crisis we are in. Therefore, I'm calling always to come together to face the transitional process. You know, on the one hand, we too long tried to govern just the outside world, took too much isms, let me call it like that, you know. We all have that, you know, but there is no recipe anymore. We can also mix the liberalism with the socialism and the materialism with the kind of whatever, with the Catholicism, you know, but its isms don't bring it anymore because it's just an exchange on the same horizon. And it's totally disconnected from the people they want to reach and they want to rule things for. There's a second, second thing. It's not about now to have a just picture about states, but therefore I just elaborated in a brief way. What you have is, since a longer time, minimum since 20, 30 years, we have background dominating, out of the background dominating systems. And these systems create this kind of personal political, in the political field, they create a personal selection mode, so to say, in order to drive the processes. But what do I miss? Minimum. There are two factors. The one is very important, the integrity. If you have corrupt systems, then the system itself works nice, no problem. But what is its sense? It forgot itself in order to work with a kind of quality. And the longer it works that way, it might have a good luck and whatever, and it anyhow does it for 20 years or whatever, you know, but at least it doesn't reach the people anymore. And it's not there for human beings. And that's, but this is the point of a political system. It's there for human beings. The second point is, we don't work, we, in a sense of politics, doesn't work anymore with transparency. Transparency is therefore very important, not only to control how much budgets the people take for whatever, that's on the one hand, but on the other hand, we need to come back to a system where the people have a good reason to trust, because the voters, for example, can only trust, they cannot check on every kind of single measure to whatever, having kept in or whatever. Then there's another principle point. Today we drive democracy, which it's a very nice concept on the one hand. We normally drive it also as a control system. It's no more offensive, proactive, dynamic, human, humane system of creating politics. You know, it's just we lost also strategies. If you take Europe, Europe doesn't have any foreign policy strategy, no more diplomacy. It doesn't know where to go. Where do we stand? They have the nice term peace power. But, you know, what is a strategy? They're very peaceful guys and having a fantastic tradition of all rich knowledge to drive politics. But they lost the connection. And as I briefly mentioned in the beginning, the subject being not in power, power as a legitimate power, as a representative system, being ordered to organize the power and to fulfill a good job and a transparent, integrous job. And on the other hand, we just control. Meanwhile, we only control. And this is not democracy. Think twice about freedom again in this context, you know. We mentioned about briefly, freedom is not only looking for limits and how to expand limits. Freedom insidely needs to be in my inner space to be confronted with a totality of substantial. Human beings look for substance. You know, and they look for their salvation, they look for their fulfillment, you know. Everybody does it, and everybody has a capacity for transcendence, yeah. But how to develop, and I just wanted to mention today that there is a nice way to start via the aesthetic in order to find the process opening up to my inner world, this very rich world, in order to connect then after that, after my inner processes and everyday new with the outside world, in order to enrich the world and to offer. More I can do, because I don't need to force the word, the outer word. If it's an equivalent word, it's open to receive. Sorry.
So therefore, aesthetics could be, let's say, a central force in your conceptualization of equilibrium?
Definitely, because the aesthetics is the equilibrating level, so to say, and tool, let me call it today, the things are always a tool, but a kind of tool to very broad tool, of course, a very rich tool to open up to the process and to keep it running, you know, because as I said, it's perception, it's understanding, it's contemplation, it's meditation, cognition processes, and coming back to contemplate my results. You know, this kind of inner equilibrating process then to take outside in my communication. It's in that way a society can exist, can get to be established, can exist, and can sustain, even very, very important, I think, to have very peaceful, always equilibrating processes. And that what we one time started with democracy, hoping that it might perform that way, but meanwhile it misperformed out of this kind of loss of control or loss of our inner processes, loss of our inner space.
What would be the political alternatives to the existing democracy that is no longer a true democracy? Decentralization on large scale, also in the direction of looking at the inner self. It needs a time, it needs a certain surrounding that I can start as an individual, that I can start the process you mentioned. What it needs.
You might need to open up to a next podcast, I think, this time. That's an extra issue, but we might take that on. Just for now, just briefly, I think, which is very important politically, conceptually, based on the process we now described today, and mentioned briefly in my deep in that regarding whatever, whomever we can reach in order to deepen that. I think it's to reconnect. Politics are ordered processes, based on a social contract, a societal contract. This is newly to be established, even as a world order level, because the societies want to cooperate. It's not, I'm not an anti-globalist, but the globalization forgot that there are regions and we are still living in a region. You know, and if there's an ideal space in Honolulu or an ideal space in Hamburg or whatever, even here, that's not the point. Wherever it is, it wants to connect, and this connection is very important. I think it's the future can only be based on an individual. If you let me just briefly design it as a kind of triangle, the individual, the representative systems, like what we know as a politics, and on the other hand, the societal structures as a regional society. Yeah, it needs to be re-regionalized because the power is in the regions. Even for Europe, you can drive Europe, but not that way. You know, it needs to be based on the regions, you know, and I think then it has a chance to formalize itself without get distracted. Just to have, like today, we just have forms, you know, we call it a democracy. But if you analyze the democratic process in the Western world, especially United States or Germany, you know, we have imperial democracies. It's not a liberal democracy. We would like to call it like that, and I would like to be with it, but I don't know about. And these kind of imperial democracies, you see it especially in their foreign policies, it's going to be over. It destructs itself. But we all can just be with it, so to say. We cannot do very much. And this is exactly that, what you also mentioned about the younger generation, you know, facing this kind of stuff, being not asked, being not integrated, being not participating in that processes, is not very much inviting for being with it. So, but other than that, the concepts of changing that, start inside. And there are the visions, and there's a metaphysical world even generating a transcendence. And out of the transcendence, we get the power, we get the force to encourage ourselves, to bring us in and to participate, to form our future as a transitional process, as a smooth and furtherly running process, like a viral system and work on.
Equilibration, the next 10 years, the next 20 years, what is the vision? What is the solution?
It is hard to say, because meanwhile we have, on the one hand, we have the societies, of course, but used up by the huge dominance of states. The states must come to an end, so to say, not dissolve themselves, so to say, but this state's function, the way we know it for now, needs to be also like to equilibrate it to that what it only is. The people don't need a ruling in every case, don't need a regulation in every single point. You know, you get up in the morning, getting up with the right food, maybe it was wrong, and there's a law, you even don't know. You know, these things need to be stopped, because we should get back to trust the human being as a human being in principle. That there are some misleading processes, I know, nobody needs to tell me about criminality, but on the other hand, the human being is not per se criminal. You know, if you wouldn't give the amendments to the world, you are not allowed to kill people, then nobody would do, because the idea is not in the world. You know, what's very important is to see that the human beings get back to form a society out of their platforms. For example, like your foundation works, you know, this kind of coming together, offering material, offering workouts, offering thoughts, ideas, creation, creative visions. This is the world the society needs to open up to. And I don't think that, coming back concretely to your question, I don't think that the next 10, 20 years are really too concretely to estimate as a process. I think the states will have already lost the control they want to have over the society. It's just the forcing energy in order to keep the society in form. But the spiritual inside level, they lost, you know. Even the level of the leading political personalities is so low, it's not even the blueprint, you know. It's not a blueprint for anybody, even for younger generation. Yeah. And this is such a misleading process that it, so far I cannot totally answer your question. So far it's coming to an end, but I don't know when. It will come to an end because it doesn't work. It looks like working, yes, but it doesn't. It doesn't solve the human needs very easy and demands, and doesn't even offer a platform to be with it, you know. Because they're totally disconnected. And this is also to reconnect and to come back to the political factor. Politics is there for human beings, period. That's a measure. And it performs as that, or it doesn't. And democracy should have ruled that, but anyhow, it went too far away from that core meaning. And where are we now?
So therefore, the key is the dialogue between the self and the outside world, then.
You say it. It's in principle the dialogue, to connect, even starting with aesthetics as an inner perception process, outer perception, and in the end, based on that and understanding, and even on the understanding level, you can start with a communication, start a dialogue to understand you, to understand the others, to understand their kind of visions, and to enrich each other. As a transpersonal, as a non-ego level, as a transpersonal spiritual being, to connect with the others in order to enrich our processes. Because at least the processes are mostly common processes, although it starts as a process inside where you are just alone, but also in quiet and creative mind.
Okay. Many thanks for this very interesting and deep going connections between central qualities and central conceptions about these qualities. Many thanks.
Yeah, thank you. And you know, we want to thank J. Michael Heyman and the Nonwai Institute, and thank you for being here, and we look forward to having further conversations in the future.
Same for me. Thank you very much. And I hope we have a further chance to deepen the issues. I think for a time the issues might not leave, in order they are still a subject to be reflected. Thank you very much.
Thank you.